exercising faith and stay your course, you know, stay your course. And so I'm going to try to tie everything together tonight about wake up, get up, dress up, and stand up, and then line up. So there's a lot of scripture. I usually preach this message to adults, so it preaches a little bit different. I try to kind of be as practical as I can with you guys here. But let's all do this. Shake that person next to you. Tell them to wake up. Tell them to wake up. There you go. Somebody's still sleeping over there. Wake up, wake up, wake up. All right. Now everyone stand up. Stand up. Good, 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 good. Now let's do this real quick. We're going to take off the night clothes. Those are the clothes you wear at night. So put off all these. Anger, get rid of it. Wrath, throw it down. Blasphemy, throw it down. Filthy communication out of your mouth, throw it down. Now we're going to do what? Now we're going to wash up. All right, let's wash up with the what? The word. Wherewith shall a young man what? Cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. We got the word cleansing us. Also the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Amen. Now we're going to what? Put ye therefore on what? The new man, which is renewed after the knowledge of him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on his righteousness. Put on his holiness. Put on bowels of mercies and kindness and compassion. And put on, above all things, we put on what? Charity. Charity. Then we got to armor up. All right, let's put on your armor now. Get your head, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Who doesn't have a shield? Get a shield. That you can quench all the what? Fiery darts of the wicked one. Right, guys? Awesome, awesome. So now that we're all armored up, now let's stand up. The question is, what are you going to stand for in this world? I'm going to let you guys sit down for 1 second. Go ahead, sit down. Just a second. We're going to stand up in a minute. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. And then also another portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Ephesians 6, 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on your breastplate of righteousness." The next one, notice what our word. We have our same word, watch. The word watch means to be what? Alert, awake. Watchful, be sober, be vigilant, be aware of what is going on, okay? You can never let your senses or your discernment or your spirit or the spiritual realm leave you. You have to be paying attention all the time. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And then here's a word, quit you like men, be strong. Now that word, quit you like men, it means to be strong, but listen to what it means. It means to look death in the face. That's what that word means. It's only mentioned 2 times in the Bible. It means play the man. It means be bold, be brave, be strong. Quit you like men. Look death in the face. But it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. I'm going to tell you what the word stand means. It means to be ready and available. It means to remain loyal to a cause. Did you guys hear that? To remain loyal to what? A cause. That's what that word means. Remain loyal to a cause. It means to maintain one's position. You hear that? Maintain one's position, not move. It means to refuse compliance and to maintain the position of opposition. It means to remain in position without following or without wavering. The word stand, it means to resist. It means to withstand. It means to go against. It also means to oppose one's opinion and to be prepared to hold your position. That's what it means. It also means to be ready or available to act. It means to maintain position while under attack. It means to maintain or to enforce or continue effect. Stand up. Now hold your position. Now we're taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to stand in opposition. You're going to have to stand in persecution. And by all means, you have to learn to stand with conviction. Now let me explain those words to you while you're holding your position. It means that there's going to be things that are going to come against you. There's going to be people, family members and friends and people in your neighborhood and people in your school. They're going to come against you because you believe that Bible. They're going to come against you because you're a child of God. They're going to come against you with opposition, with persecution. They're going to come against you and you've got to stand with conviction. Does everyone know what conviction is? Conviction is that you will not falter. You will not waver. You will not back down. You're going to hold your position and you're going to stand your ground. Who's going to stand their ground? That was real weak, Brother Bob. Who's going to stand their ground? There's going to be opposition. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be people that are going to come against you. And you've got to have so much conviction that you will not waver. You won't waver. Okay, so let's sit back down for a second. You've got to decide in your mind that you will not waver, that you will not walk or collapse. Listen to this verse. Don't turn there. It's in the book of Jude 1, verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Did you know you have to fight the good fight of faith? Did you know that you're fighting against the world, the devil, and the flesh? The Bible says, fight the good fight. Your Christian life is a battle going on. And if you're not prepared, you will lose the battle. If you're not geared up and armed up and strengthened up and built up, and you're not read up and prayed up and staying in church and staying amongst God's people, you will feel defeated. There have been so many Christians that have been defeated. Paul mentions them. He says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this evil present world." He failed in the battle. You've got to determine in your mind, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, and nothing is going to make me waver. Nothing is going to make me give in or throw in the towel or quit. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be persecution. People are going to come against you. You may even have your own family members come against you. You may have friends come against you. And by all means, you'll have even other Christians come against you for standing for that King James Bible. It's going to come. But you've got to have such a deep conviction that you will not waver or falter. You've got to stay there. But it says that we have to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For you to maintain your faith in Jesus Christ, it's an ongoing battle. The devil's going to come at you. The world's going to come at you. Things are going to come at you. Your own feelings and your emotions will waver. This is why we trust the Lord with all our heart and we lean not on our what? Own understanding. You see that? Because there may be a time when you're weak in the faith and you don't worry about your emotions or your feelings. You trust the living word of God and nothing else. That book is the only truth we have. It's the only thing that God has given to us to secure us and stabilize us. But it says there, we have to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Your faith is a battle. There's a war going on for your faith. And you have to take a stand in what you believe. You have to take a stand. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, brethren," it says, "stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle." Paul says, hey, stand fast. Hold on to those traditions. Now, most of the time, the word tradition is mentioned in a negative way. But here in this context, it's mentioned in a positive way. Paul's saying, listen, you stand fast and you hold on to the things that I have taught you. You hold on to the things that you have believed. You hold on to the word of God. And he says, listen, guys, and you know what you need to hold on to more than anything? That old King James Bible. Well, that thing is outdated. Let me tell you something. It's not outdated. That thing is alive, and it's been moving through history. That book is so far beyond humanity that we don't even understand it. We need to hold fast the tradition and stand for that King James Bible. You need to stand for it. We live in a world today where even Christians won't stand for it. They won't stand for it. They'll stand for this. They'll stand for that nonsense. We need to stand for the absolute authority and the preservation of the living Word of God, and that is that King James Bible. Then in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, Paul says, I may hear of your fears. Listen to what he says, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving. Listen, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know why you guys come to a camp like this? Because you're standing fast with each other. You're standing fast with each other to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to build each other up. When you guys get back home, you better make sure you continue to go to church, that you continue to have this zeal and this enthusiasm that you have. Why? It's because we need each other to stand fast and to build each other and to strengthen each other. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That's important. You guys need to stand fast with each other. Stay close to each other. Get each other's phone numbers. You know, get in touch with each other. Why? We need to stand fast together, striving for the faith. We build each other up. That's what we do. We strive. Brother Bob, he builds me up. We stand fast in the conviction of the King James Bible and in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You guys need each other. We need each other. We need to stand strong. Why? There's strength in numbers. There's unity in numbers. Stand fast, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your, listen to this, by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation in that of God. Listen, guys, there's going to be adversaries that are going to come against you. You're going to have other Christians that are going to attack your belief in the King James Bible. You have to stand for that book. You need to be a defender of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be opposition. You've got to stand with conviction. If you don't know what conviction is, it means you're willing to die for the cause. Did everyone hear what I just said? Conviction is that you should have such a deep conviction and passion that you say, I will lay down my life like the early church did. The early church in the book of Acts, they had an overwhelming conviction. Nothing was going to sway their belief. Nothing was going to cause them to regress or to turn back on their faith and their belief in God. Nothing. Why? It's because they knew who Christ was and they had deep conviction. We live in a world today where most people have no conviction. They don't have conviction in what they believe. They don't have any conviction in their stance for the things of God. You need to have a conviction that nobody else can give you. It's a determination that comes in your own heart and in your own life, and it's going to come by the Spirit of the living God, where you say, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. I don't care what my mom says. I don't care what my dad says. I don't care if they neglect the authority of the King James Bible. That's what I'm going to stand for, because that is the Word of God.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, listen to this. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, he says, my joy, my crown, Paul says. He says, stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, stand fast. It means that you hold your ground and you're not moving. Well, what if somebody comes at me? I'm not moving. What if a family member or another Christian tries to sway me into doing something that I shouldn't do? What if some of my friends in the neighborhood want me to go somewhere or do something that I ought not to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to just give in and go? Or are you going to stand fast and hold your ground? What if people start making fun of you? Now, what are you going to do then? Oh, you're a Christian. You're a weirdo. You Christians are a bunch of, you guys are all strange. You went to a Christian camp. Are you going to say, yeah, I did. And I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. I learned about his grace and his love. I learned about his blood and his atonement and his forgiveness. That's what I did. I learned about the most important thing in life, the word of the living God. Or are you going to waver? We need to stand fast, hold our ground. Stand up for Jesus. Nope, I didn't mean now. It's okay. Awesome. I like the zeal in these guys. I just say, stand up. Woo! 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Listen to this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul says here, stand fast. Then he uses a word here. It means unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But Paul says, stand fast. Then he says, be unmovable. You don't let anybody push you, move you, persuade you, or cause you to do something that is contrary to that book. You stand fast. Unmovable. I'm not going to move. What if my friends tell me this? What if somebody says this? Say it in yourself. I'm not going to move. Let's say it out loud. I'm not going to move. I'm going to hold my ground. Well, you don't have to believe the King James Bible. All Bibles are good. I am unmovable. You've got to be unmovable. You've got to be so convicted in your heart and in your soul that you're willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be unmovable. No matter what comes my way, no, I'm not going to sway. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stay my course and be unmovable. Stand up. Stand up. Nope, you don't have to stand up yet. So now let me go over everything we looked at. First, we wake up, we wash up, we dress up, we armor up, we stand up. Now we're going to line up for battle. Here's where it's going to be important. This is where we're going to have to line up, and you're going to say, I am going head forward into battle. I want you to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Now in Joshua chapter 1 and 2, God is preparing Joshua to lead the people of Israel into battle. They're getting ready to go in and conquer the land. God has given them the promises. God has given them the power. God has given them the authority that they needed. God gave them everything that they needed to go in and conquer the land. They're going to go in and they're going to conquer the land. They're going to overthrow the enemies and defeat them. They were getting ready for battle. This is the point where Joshua is going in to conquer. Joshua has God's power. He's got God's protection. He's got God's provision. He's got God's presence with him. He's going into battle. Now we have to line up. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over the Jordan. And it came to pass, after 3 days, the power of the resurrection, God is preparing them, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place. And I want you to say that, those four words out loud. What does it say? And go after it. Say it again.
And go after it.
They said, boy, when you see the Ark, you see that Ark, and the priests are carrying it, you follow it. You know what that ark had inside of it? How many guys know what it had inside of it? Okay. Oh, a couple of you know. Good. It had the what? It had a gold pot with the manna in it. You know what that gold pot is? It shows us the deity and the holiness of the Word of God. Guys, that's the manna. Then else, you want to know what else it had in it? It had Aaron's rod that budded. That shows us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something was dead, and what did it do? It rose and produced life. Then it had the Ten Commandments in it, and that shows us the finger of God. That's what it had in there. You know what that ark is a picture of in your life and in my life? It's a picture of the power and the presence of Almighty God. And they said, Aaron says, you get up when you see that ark, and what do? Say it out loud. Go what?
Go
after it. Say it again. Go after it. That's God's power. That's God's presence. That's God's provision. That is what God wants you to follow. He wants you to follow his person. Joshua was leading the people into battle. There's a war that they were going into. Joshua, Jesus, into correlation. Same thing. Jesus is leading you and I into battle, and we have to follow the power and the presence of Almighty God. God would meet with man between the cherubims on the mercy seat. That was the presence of God. And if you know anything about your Bible, man, when Israel had the Ark of the Covenant, it was the blessings, it was the power, it was God's provision for them. It was God's protection. The greatest thing you can do is stand up, line up, and go into battle following God's presence and God's power. That's the greatest thing you can do in your life. That's what we need to be following. Jesus said, be ye followers of me. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I also am a follower of Christ. They were following the ark of God, the presence, the power, and the provision, and the promises of God. They had the promises in chapter 1. They heard from God. They looked at that ark and they said, that is the presence and the power of Almighty God. And we're going to follow that into battle. My question to you, what are you going to follow in this life? What are you going to follow? You're going to follow your friends? You're going to follow the world? You're going to follow the devil? Listen, guys, you're going to follow something in your life. You have to determine, what am I going to follow? Listen, guys, you've got to look at that Ark of the Covenant and say, I am going to follow the Word of God, the manna. I am going to follow the power of the resurrection, the rod that budded. I am going to follow the handwriting of the written God. I am going to follow that. Nothing else. They had to make that choice. Look at verse 2 again. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant, the power, the presence, the promises of God, of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, carrying it, then ye shall, what he says, you shall remove from your place. In other words, get up and do something. Get up and do something. Remove from your place. And then say it out loud one more time. Say, go after it.
Go after it.
One more time. Go after it. Go after what? God's power, God's presence, God's provision, and God's promises. Go after it. There's nothing else in this world worth chasing. There's nothing else in this world worth pursuing. Nothing. And I know some of you, the world's going to tempt you. The devil's going to tempt you. You know, your friends, and they're going to try to get you to follow something else. Let me tell you something. The great, you all, adults, listen too. I see some adults there chasing fame and prosperity and money and greed. Let me tell you something. You better be in pursuit of God and in his word. Watch what happens here. Verse 3, and when they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove, listen to this, from your place and go after it. Now look at verse 4, and yet there shall be a space between you and it. So there had to be a space about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. Look what it says. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherfore. This is uncovered ground and uncovered territory that they've never traveled. They don't know what's ahead of them. They don't know what's to come. They know there's conflict and battles, and they know there's going to be wars. They know that, but they had to have faith and trust God because it was an uncharted territory. Everything in your life is going to be uncharted territory. But if you've got God's presence and God's power and God's promises and God's provision in front of you, and you're following that, you've got nothing to worry about. Tomorrow is going to be uncharted territory. Listen, when you get back home, there's going to be uncharted grounds and uncharted territory. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but if you keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant, God's promises, God's power, God's provision, God's protection, you'll be all set. Because he's going to lead you. Because you have his promises, you have his power, you have his presence in your life. If you keep your eyes on the ark, they had to stay so far back. Now watch this, right? Let's keep going on. Verse 4 again. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For you have not passed this way hitherfore. And look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, look at this, he says, sanctify yourselves. Now this means, this is a simple word, it just means set yourself apart. If you're going to be a follower of God, and you're going to follow his power, his presence, you're going to follow his promises, and you're going to be that, you're going to follow that ark, you got to sanctify yourself. You got to say, you know something? I am set apart for the glory of God. I'm set apart for his glory. I'm set apart for his majesty. I take my life and I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, and I sanctify myself. I set myself apart from this world. I set myself apart from ungodly friends. I set myself apart from anything or anyone that is going to pull me away from God's word. I sanctify myself to bring honor and glory to God. I sanctify myself so I can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his power, his presence, and his promises in my life. Joshua spake unto the priests, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Guys, as long as they were following the ark, God's presence and God's power and God's promises, right? Man, God could do amazing things. Did you know that? Man, if you keep your eyes on God, you keep your eyes on his presence and his promises and his power, let me tell you something, you don't know what God could do. God already promised Joshua and the people of Israel that he was going to lead them into victory. Listen, if you keep your eyes on God and you sanctify yourself, God can do great things in you and through you. If you trust God, you keep your eyes on his power, his promises, and his presence, God could do something great in your life. Something great. He says, he will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Now we're going to stand up. Stand up. Now who's going to line up? Who's going to line up? Who's going to line up for battle? Who's going to go after it? You've got to make a choice what you're going to pursue in this world. You've got to make a choice. You're going to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to stand for, you're going to stand and then pursue, line up for battle for the things of God? Who's going to go after it? Say amen.
Amen.
Who's going after the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Who's going after his promises and his presence? Who's going after the will of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Who's going to stand for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Are you going to falter? Are you going to waver?
No.
No. You stand for that old King James Bible. So let's go over everything now. Shake that person next to you. Tell them to wake up. Wake up! All right, next. Next. We gotta what? Take off the night clothes. Put ye off all these things. Anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Let's put on a new man. Let's ask God to wash me up. Lord, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wash up in the word of God. Wash up. Armor up. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the devil. Then we stand up, and then we line up for battle. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I might have Brother Bob come. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. I thank you for the time this week being with these kids, Lord. And I just thank you for an opportunity to give them the gospel and help them to stand in a world that is faltering, in a world where Christianity is being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the slight cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Help these kids to stand. Help them to stand in opposition. Help them to stand in persecution. And help them to stand with a deep conviction that they will be willing to lay down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help them to line up for battle every day. Armor up, stand up, and line up for battle every day. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. We thank you for this camp. Thank you for the counselors and all the love and the grace that went into it. Pray that you'd encourage everybody. And Lord, I pray that the words of God will resonate in these young people, in their mind and heart, that your word will not return void, and that you impact their lives by the living word of God. Keep them awake, sharp, and alert to the spiritual realm. Help them always to have a tender heart where they can always turn back to you and be made clean. Help them to put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day and put off the old man, and help them to put on that new man. Help them to armor up, stand up, and line up and get ready for battle every day of their lives. The world is such an evil place. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them grace and victory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen.